Hello and welcome to another edition of the Talking Para podcast, live on StreamYard, YouTube, and wherever else we are live at the moment. Look, tonight we're going to talk about the great night that our illustrious host had last Friday night against the Newcastle Knights. And it's also a magic round as well this week in the NRL, where Parramatta will take on the Gold Coast Titans in the very last game of magic round. And we'll probably chuck in a few other Parramatta issues as well. Joining the panel tonight, we've got another full house. We've got Joel from A League of Inches. We've got M. Tatey from Tate Sports Cards. We've got Hayden from the Entertain House. We've got myself, Troy, from the Paracave Podcast. And we've got our illustrious host, Mr. Adam Martin, who is cracking, waiting to get into this show. So over to you, Adam. Let's go.
So I'm just looking at Corey Worthington up there in the top left-hand corner. I don't know why he's got his sunglasses on. It's a bit sunny on the Central Coast, is it?
I'll tell you what, we've been waiting for it, and it was a cool win on Friday night. It was a win. I've back the old 2009 jersey that doesn't fit me, so.
2009? That's bloody 2018.
2019, sorry. I said 2009. I was thinking about years lost premierships. All right, let's get into it.
You're a
flying start. All right, let's start with Friday night. Look, you're probably going to expect me to gloat and talk about how good it was, but I actually, besides the result, I walked out a little bit disappointed with the actual game. I thought we left 6 or 7 tries out there. And although I love beating the Knights 43-12, I would have loved to beat them 70-12. Or 70-6 or something like that. Just watching the game back, and I've watched it back several times, I said there was a few opportunities that we kind of need to ice in the game that we didn't ice. And simple things, simple passes to the hands of other players, simple not passing the ball, which I believe has seen one player drop this week, and a bit of selfishness as well. And although we won the game comfortably, it could have been more, and those are the moments we've got to get right against harder teams. The glorious moment, obviously, was we smashed the Knights. And what it made it even better is so many people around the area felt like that was a game the Knights could win, and they certainly didn't. But what made it even better was pretty much everything I said in the podcast last week about us attacking down that left-hand edge and how weak that left-hand edge was. And some of you guys said you're all worried about them. I didn't mean attack. I meant defence. They were frigging terrible. You cannot put Ponga, Bradman Best, and Greg Marzu, the bloke who had to change his name to escape his defence at Parramatta, you cannot put them on one edge. It's just not good enough. So great day, great results, some good moments. I'll go to Hayden. You can go first if you want your thoughts on the game.
He's already given his thoughts.
Well, it wasn't meant to be a game. It was just last week, boys, but I got work off early, got to head down. Had a nice view up the top. I haven't sat up in the blue and gold barracks, they call it, Section 221 over at Combank Stadium, loud and proud. They were getting chance for all the different try scorers, whether it was Gutho, I guess it's normally the Sebo chant, or the Moses that had all the chance going. But it was a really well-rounded team performance. Like, I think later we'll struggle to speak about the individual man of the match. There probably is one or two arguably there, but everyone kind of did their job throughout the night. And that healthy lead going into halftime was really good to see. As you said, they probably could have scored, you know, that 60, 70, even the 50 that we really thought was coming. But a very clinical team performance, especially at home. But as you said, Newcastle's defence was dreadful. So I hope the boys don't think, you know, they can just beat anyone after this performance. They still need to play a lot better. There's room for improvement, as Brad has said. But the effort was there on Friday night.
I knew you were going to do it. As soon as you said there was room for improvement, I knew you were going. The effort was there. But he also said the effort had been there from the Knights in the last few weeks. There was no effort from them. Troy, we'll go to you next.
Yeah, look, a pretty good performance. And they obviously listened to the podcast last week because they got out to that flying start, which is what we needed to do because our starts have been ridiculous throughout the year. We've been slow starters and having to score a lot of points in the first half, second half to win games or be in games. So nearly got the bold prediction right of 3 tries in 10 minutes, but a lot of controversy about that one. So, good to see that they scored points quickly. I thought it was a really good effort from the forward pack, considering RCG was out. And it was the first time that we saw, obviously, RCG out. So we were wondering how the forward pack would go, how the forward momentum would go. And I thought they handled themselves really well. There was obviously there's few opportunities that were missed, scoring tries, as you mentioned at the top there, Adam, which is a little bit disappointing. I thought when Moses was running towards the corner, I thought potentially Dunster could have come inside and maybe Moses passed it in inside, and then maybe that could have been a try. But that didn't happen. He loves running to the corner, Moses, so we've seen him get there before. But short dropouts. Why do we have to do the short dropouts? I don't think we're really successful with the short dropouts.
I swear, someone asked me this question every week. I'm going to answer it. The whole reason
I know the reason why dropouts,
and when it's since when it's come in has been since obviously interchange dropped down again, right? It's a tactic not based around always getting the ball back, but it's a tactic around having a defensive line set. So if you go 50 meters off your dropout, usually your first contact's about 30 meters, which means your forward's running 30 meters. If you only go the 10, they're either only running 10 or they're getting the ball back. So, you know, it's not going to cost us anything in that game anyway, but that's kind of where the idea is at.
But
so.
We're not that successful at getting the ball back in that situation.
Yeah, but either way, we're saving 30 meters worth of running, which is 30 minutes worth of solid effort. So.
Okay. I also thought whilst Hayes Dunstar wasn't electrifying in attack, his defence was pretty solid. A few opportunities there. I was a little bit disappointed in Hodgson, again, kicking on a third tackle in a scoring opportunity. But we've all had our thoughts about Josh Hodgson. But one question I just want to pose to you guys is, we saw Gutho score two tries from dummy half. Is he going to put himself in the category of Justin Hodges when he gets into dummy half? Has he given too much away by getting into dummy half with the opposition knowing that he's always going to go from dummy half to try and score a try?
No, I don't think so, because what it opens up for now is if he does rush in there, we know we love those barge over players. Now forward pack have the option to barge over. We've seen us try it all the time and it never seems to work. So the markers aren't going to split and aren't going to chase now. So it means if he throws a little short ball to our forwards, you should get a one-on-one contest, especially the position on the field he was doing it. So he was doing it out wide, which essentially means your front row or your second row would be one-on-one with a half, essentially.
So he needs to mix it up, doesn't he? He needs to pass it and then he needs to run it himself just to mix it up, because otherwise if he gets into dummy half, he's just the opposition's going to think he's going to go himself.
True. He will. Let's see if he does. Let's see if he's got the X factor to do that. Anything else to add, Troy?
No, not at this point. When we go
any more notes?
No, not yet. A little bit later when we go through the players of the game, but happy to hear your guys' thoughts.
Yep, I'll go to Matt next before we head out to Queensland.
Yeah, I was watching it from home. Couldn't be there, spewing. Last minute, cold and flu. The man flu hit me on Thursday night, and you know I'm sick when I don't go to footy, but yeah, it was...
What were you and Matto up to game. Then?
No, I had the man flu. He had a tummy bug, mate. He cooked his steak raw or something.
He's chicken. That bloke family is chicken for sure.
Yeah. He was that guy at Coles walking around biting into the raw chicken, mate. Yeah, it was a good, entertaining game. It was about time something clicked. It's been looking like it for a while. I think the bomb tries, we can go for them all we want, but yeah, just some of them got to pass the ball better. We've all said Sivo not to kick, but he put in the perfect chip and chase for himself.
He just couldn't pass it.
But the pass, he passed it past like four of our players. Mitch Bomb, the Guffo, could have got four. But yeah, as we said, Hayes is 18 months out of the game, still not up to speed. Probably could have scored a hat trick himself. But yeah, it was good. Wiramu almost, I reckon he got to the line. I reckon he got over and just didn't claim it. Like, there was a part there where he got so close, but yeah, Mitch with the field goal. I thought maybe they would go for that 50-meter field goal, 50-meter penalty goal at the end, but we've all said it, no point tearing a groin or a hemi for 2 points. But yeah.
Four and against, Matty. An extra 1 point, four and against.
Yeah, well, would have been an extra 2 points if he...
Yeah, it would have been two.
We got one just... instead of none.
Yeah. No, I mean, off the kickoff.
Mate, if Junior didn't score that try and Mitch didn't kick the field goal, I would have been spot on.
Would you?
Yeah.
Oh, no. How does that make you feel?
36-12, mate.
But you weren't, so...
Yeah,
right, let's head up to Joel now.
Well on it like Troy does.
After all, the magic is going to happen this weekend, Joel.
Yeah, I'm keen to see the boys that are coming up and the obviously all the fans that are watching this who are coming up to Magic Ground. Can't wait. It's going to be a great weekend of footy. Pumped for Sunday, obviously, watching Para for first time this year for me. So that'll be pretty cool. But the Knights, I got to watch the first half. I had to watch the second half on repeat because I was actually at a touch tournament and I was playing the exact same time. So I had to put the phone down. But really happy with the first half. Second half, I thought, as you've all said, we left a little bit there still, but maybe that could be a bit of game management as well from our end because we've got a few injuries in that, so I don't want to go too hard. I'm not too sure, but it was disappointing not to get to at least that 50 mark. So I think we versed the Knights side that many of us predicted at the start of the year who weren't really there or won't really be there at the competition at all. And I think Pong is probably the most overrated player in the competition, but that's for another day. But he's come back to the team and they've played probably the worst they've looked all year, which is quite funny. But, yeah, I thought Gutho, there's your X factor once again. He's just – ever since that news broke, I feel like he's just been on another planet, which has been pretty funny.
I think he broke it himself.
Yeah, well, yeah, he did. Dill Brown obviously listens to the podcast and came out
probably the best team
of the year. So anyone else that you guys want me to really give a rocket to this week, just give me a text and well, I'll make sure they're up there. So
I had a nice chat with Wirimu after the game. I walked down with a young fella and he was there and I said, hey, Wirimu, he goes, hey, stop calling me a cat, mate. I would take you in the car park anytime. No, he didn't really. But I actually had a bit of a chat with him.
Because you didn't say it, did you?
No, I didn't. I actually told him, I said, mate, I said, I didn't expect to be playing as well as you have. I said, your form's been unbelievable, and that was by far your best game in the NRL. He goes, oh, thanks, mate. I was like, no worries, bro. We're cool now. We're good. Like, you know, don't remember me. Don't hate me. So, no, we're good. We're good. Before we go in any more, if anyone's got any questions, obviously chuck them in the comments. We'll try and answer them towards the end. We'll do a bit more. But, yeah, look, I'm going to quickly run through it because, like I said, I was a little bit disappointed with it, but to some of the tries left behind, like I said, I calculated four in the first half. There was a Gutho dropping the ball over the line. There was Moses went through and got ankle tapped. And then we had a simple right side, short side play where all Cardi had to do was throw a cutout pass. I think he did throw a cutout pass, but the communication wasn't there. Will put his hands on it. One right on half time where Russell went straight through. And he threw the dummy originally to get through. Then all he had to do was pass to Sivo and Sivo's over. And then there was another one as well. I believe we made another break. I think it was Penasini may have made the break and got tackled. Yeah, right-hand side. All we had to do was spread the ball left. We spread the ball left. And then Dylan decided to step back in on the right for some reason. So I think you need to talk about that as well, Joel.
Opportunities for Sivo to score from viewing that game, especially, as you mentioned, Sean Russell not passing. So we'll get to why he's probably not in the team list this week.
Yeah, and that's the point I was going to get to right there because, one, it screwed my multi by Sivo not scoring a try, but the Sivo chip and chase.
Gamble responsibly.
The Sivo chip and chase, just when you think you've seen it all on a rugby league field, you see a bloke whose last three kicks have gone dead by 100 metres. You see him pull off a chip and chase on the run, may I add. It wasn't just he stopped. He chipped and chased on the run, regathered, and then obviously we blew a try there. As you touched on, Trey, the Moses one in the corner. Look, it's easy to say that someone should tuck back under, but Moses' first angle was at the corner post. He had all that space to go like this, and he went like this. So he kind of wiped out that straight away and ran them out of room. He took the people outside of it out of play. And then the other one was, once again, I think it was off the Sivo chip and chase. all we have to do is spread the ball right and Dylan throws the ball at Mitchell's ankle. So, like I said, we've got to be better, but it was still a great night out. My moment of the game, I forgot our moments of the game, was probably Gutho's try just after half time. It was hard to compare. It was between that and obviously the Sean Russell try, but just the way we spread that ball, nice ball from Cardi for Moses to absolutely burn Ponga. Actually, can I say my moment of the game was both Moses and Penasini constantly burning Ponga. It's just highlighting how poor his defence is and the big problem the Knights have. But obviously, Moses went through, linked up with Gutho. That was my moment. So the people want you, Hayden. What was your moment of the game?
Well, I struggle with the moment of the game, but I think for me, there was a moment early on. I think, look, as many points as we put on the Knights early on, they scored and made it 6-6. There was a moment where they put in a pass and Will Penasini came in with that pass when they were heading straight towards the try line. I think that kind of came the momentum. We after that moment, we had a few repeat sets. I'd say Will Penasini getting that ball to stop the Knights from taking the lead down their end in the first half really changed the boys' mindset. I think it was around the between the 12th and 15th minute.
Yep. Joel?
Yeah, I'd say I actually really like the fact that we're scoring that the two Gutho tries from dummy half. I know it's quite boring, but I don't feel like we do many. And it's nice to just get a couple of those little easy tries that we've all got the fancy players, we've seen what we do in the back line and things like when they're on, but it was just nice to get a few of those easy tries that I know people like Josh Hodgson wouldn't get. So finally we've got a hooker that can actually barge over.
So Josh Hodgson's going to be man of the match this weekend.
Are you on the dial-up here in Queensland, Joel? Because you started cutting out a bit there, that's all. Have they got broadband up there yet?
You better pay.
Nah, not yet. Nah, not yet. Sorry, guys. Just on the cable still. So.
Okay. All right, Matt, yours? Do you want me to your play of the match? Moment, whatever you want to call it.
I have the match. I'm going to say probably Moses. Just his breaks, his runner meters, his try assists. But the play of the match would have to be the Gutho try after halftime. It was all Cardi pass. And we saw after they scored. No, we saw after they scored, Moses point straight to him. As in, that was your try. Like, just the in and away.
It was Kalen Conger's try, to be honest. He's lacking
in and away. $1.2 million turnstile. And then, yeah, straight through. I remember we used to have a player like that back in the day. But
his name was Mitchell Moses.
Exactly. Now look at what he's doing.
He worked on his defence. So there is still hope for Kalen. Troy.
Yeah, look, I probably didn't have a specific moment of the match. I just think that I really enjoyed the fact that, as we know, they all made those line breaks. But when they did make those line breaks, you looked in field and there was 2-3 Eels players in support. So that's really critical because we've seen in the past where a player would make a break and then there's no one supporting him, backing him up. But to have
is that why Moses dummied left and went away from Gutho and got tackled?
Well, that was a mistake, that one, obviously. But most of them, you'd see 2-3 in the front. But in terms of a player of the game, again, I don't really have a player of the game. I've got sort of players of the game. And I sort of mentioned it before, with RCG out, I thought the forward pack really stood up. And obviously, your mate Wiramu, he was outstanding as well. As you said, probably played his best NRL game ever. But Makahisi Makatoa as well off the bench, he was outstanding. I think he nearly 194 running metres. But Ofahiki Ogden as well off the bench as well. He was outstanding as well. Big unit, and he ran for like 130 odd metres as well. So just those three really stepped up with RCG being out.
Yeah, for sure. I'll give you my player of the match, first of all. It was a bit of a hard one. Like, I'm going to say Josh Hodgson. No, I'm just joking, Joel. I just had to guess here, Joel Jackson. But I want to give Josh a mention because he's copped a lot of shit, mostly off Joel. And I actually thought he was a lot better out of the ruck this week. Like, you know, defensively still wasn't great, but he actually got out and created a bit of stuff. And you can see Moses' try. When Moses goes through, I know Matt, he didn't point to Cardi this time, but Moses come back out and pointed straight to Hodgson for the quick service. And he was attracting the markers. This looked a lot better out of there. I, for the first time in probably 7 weeks, I actually thought we looked better with Hodgson on. Not 7 weeks, but ever since Hands made his debut, we looked better with Hodgson on there for once. So, which is rare to see. Hands are still great when he come on, but like I said, we're playing against no one as well, punching nobodies from Newcastle. So,
look, Hodjo has been, he got some tips from Peter Wynn today. He was in Peter Wynn's school, so he's been getting some tips from Pete about how to play.
What are we talking? Race 3 at Randwick, number? Football tips, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Look, back to my man of the match, though. It's a bit of a hard one, but you ready, boys? My man of the match was Wiramu Greg.
I knew he'd say that.
I thought he was superb. Like, his post-contact...
Even, his second spell when he came on.
It was his post-contact meters, his drive, his aggression in defence. Honestly, I sat there and thought to myself, shit, if he continues his form, we're not going to miss RCG that much, as much as I thought we will. And then I'll give an honourable mention to Ogden off the bench, who for some reason has been dropped. He was superb as well. And Makatoa, they really stood up. So it probably shows you that teams rely on having two solid forwards too much. And I'm not saying we need to get rid of Junior or get rid of RCG, but so much of your salary cap is taken up by having two big props, right? And a lot of clubs don't have that. We probably don't need it because these other blokes probably sit back and go, I don't need to do my job. I just need to go on and be a bench player. They all stood up on the weekend wanting to get themselves some game time. So, I'm going to say, and I told him that after the game as well, and we're mates now, so it's all good. I don't have to be scared.
As you mentioned, we all talk about when Reg is playing and one of them goes off and then both of them goes off, we lose that momentum. But on the weekend, there didn't seem to be any momentum lost at all with those bench players coming on.
You're right, but that could also be the opposition we were playing. You were having a very off night as well. So
could do.
Let's see if that continues this week. But I'll go to you, Joel, now for your player of the match.
Oh, let's go Gutho.
Just because he's got three tries.
Yeah, everywhere.
We've got a comment. So, Troy can do the Gufferini, but
thanks, Marlon. I knew who it would be even before you read it out, mate. Who said it? So maybe.
Surprised he didn't pull it out on the third one. I thought I was waiting for it.
First ever career hat trick. Yeah, you would have thought he would have.
We should have had six, to be honest. So maybe he was saving himself. Hayden, your thoughts, player of the match?
Yeah, I spoke about my thoughts, but player of the match, I spoke about how there are a few different players thrown around. You've mentioned Moses, you've mentioned Gutho, both had blinders, but for me, I actually think it's Jermaine Hopgood. I think he had his best Eels performance to date. He had a try assist. I'm probably guessing here, but I'd say he was up around that 200 metres, plenty of tackles, very involved, big minutes in the game. And as you said, Regan Campbell-Gillard being out, the forward pack itself has to stand up. Ryan Madison was out as well. So I'm actually going to give this one to Jermaine Hopgood. I thought he was fantastic on Friday.
And he did earn the VB hard-earned index player of the round two. Yeah. So.
Does anyone understand how that works yet? Or
no.
No idea.
No.
VB is a shit beer and I don't care. I'll go through Hopgood's stats quickly. 20 runs, 172 metres, 4 offloads in 74 minutes and 45 tackles. But the thing that impressed me the most while I go through these was how, like I said, the forward pack being spread. Nearly all of our players, besides Cardi and Paulo, ran for over 100 metres and obviously Hodgson as well. And going through people that were on their majority game. I got Moses ran for 170. Gutherson 192, Brown 192. Now, usually I would go off about Brown running 192 metres, but the fact he made, I think he made two line breaks, and five tackle breaks obviously makes that a lot better. Russell ran for 136, Paulo 91, Cardi 91, Dunster 108, Greg 134, Hopgood 172, I said Lane 116, McIntyre 194 metres. That's his best career performance by far. Ogden 148 and found himself dropped. Penasini 180, Sivo 158 in a chip and chase. So when you look at that, we ran for 2,137 metres, which is 610 more than the Knights ran for. That's massive.
What do you
think? I don't know if you know, guys, but that's six football fields.
Oh,
2 kilometres.
I want to ask, you obviously touched on Reg earlier in the year, and you just mentioned there that Junior had under 100 metres. What do you think it is about the key forwards when one of them out, one of them's not performing? You know, we spoke about Junior's suspension and Reg not performing, and now we're seeing, like, Junior's definitely playing good footy, but he's not playing his best footy, and the person who's standing in that position, obviously this week being Woodamoo Greg, is doing a better job. So what do you think it is about the senior players, and why is that happening?
I'll just hold up first that Junior was down about 20 minutes than he usually was. So if you work out, he played 48 minutes. If he usually does about 68 minutes, add 20 onto that, you can probably add another 45 metres on easily, 135 metres. But he did a lot more ball playing as well, which we saw. If you look at his stats as well, he's got two offloads and only ran for 13 runs. So it's not like he was getting driven back. We found him in first receiver a lot more. So I don't think that he played bad. I think that he didn't have to take those tough carries. And also, we spread the ball a lot quicker to our edges as well and hit a lot wider in this game because we knew where their weakness was. So that's all really highlights in that regard to me. I don't think he played bad. I thought he was outstanding. And I was actually quite surprised. To be honest, I was actually quite surprised that Greg only ran for 134 as well, because on the day, it looked like he ran for 3,000. But, you know, it's, yeah, one of those things that the stats always don't tell the story of how a player performs. When we look back at the Reg performances, it just seemed like he was missing. That's why we comment on it, and we fired him up for him to score a try, just like Joel fired up Dylan. So, anyone got anything else to add from that game? Any fun moments? I'll give you a quick one, because you know how much I love Banner for the Knights. I have ripped Kalen a new one. Right in front of us was where Moses' try was denied. And if you sit back and watch the game, Kalen's over arguing with the referee and they said, oh, Kalen Ponga makes a defensive decision. And I've just screamed at the top of my lungs in the ultra quietness. Defensive decision? He hasn't used his frigging shoulder all night. He wouldn't know how to make a tackle. And Kalen just looks up like this. I got him. I got him, and I got the Knights fans on this win serve on the way home. Anything else he wants to add?
So you've just fired up Kalen Ponga. He'll have a blind of this. Oh, he's not playing this week because Newcastle aren't in magic round.
They aren't, no. But it's all right. We don't have to play the Knights again, and the Knights don't know how to play in September, so we'll be right. All right, before we move on to that, let's talk about everyone good?
Yeah, I'll just say one thing quickly. It'll lead into the time.
Is it an apology to Dylan Brown or Josh Hodgson? Or?
No, just more so in the fact that it was just the Knights, guys, and it was, I want to see us do it again 2 weeks in a row. I'm not going to get too excited off that performance.
You want to say just do it to just the Titans?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a big opening for the boys. I think that's a win that was needed for them, the confidence-wise. And a lot of those fringe players really stood up, which we've needed since the start of the year. So it's good to see them finally do it. But it'd be good to see them do that again, back it up 2 weeks in a row and go from that. The players that we're talking about weren't there last week, so it's sort of like they can't turn up 1 week and not for the next week. We've got to make sure we're now a full on football side that turns up every week, which we haven't done so far this year. So let's see.
Yeah, I'll just quickly mention before we go on the SG ball as well. New South Wales Cup results: Parramatta 44, Newcastle 10. So not a good day to be a Knights fan, or not a good weekend to be a Knights fan. So
Zach Sini scored another couple of tries.
Zach Sini scored a couple. Dury backed up after his big game on Friday night and played. Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. Jake Arthur with a try as well. But by all reports in that game, I obviously didn't watch it, but by all reports, Manny Luke, who is the brother of whatever, the Luke from Penrith,
Sonny Luke.
Yeah, by all reports, he was superb in the game. Obviously, Davey played straight away after signing, I think, the night before or two nights before. Obviously, he had a pretty impressive performance to come straight in the team this week. But 44-10, always good to see New South Wales Cup. They've been pretty, I'd say, inconsistent up and down. But I guess the more players we get back and the more full strength we are in first grade, obviously, the more they benefit as well. Let's go on to the big one of the weekend, which was the SG Ball Cup Grand Final, Leichhardt Oval there on Saturday. Yep, 28-22. It's always good to see the juniors come through and win one. They're pretty unlucky to not be there, obviously, in the Harold mats as well. But 28-22. I've seen the highlights of the game. I saw Saunders cut through pretty early on, and they seem to have a pretty big dominance of the game. Anyone who watched it, Matt, did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched the live stream of the second half, and, yeah, it was entertaining. Eels got out to, like, a 12-0 lead, and then it was 12-4. And then it was just like, then we went 22-12 and it got to like the final 30 seconds and they had the ball and the timer had stopped. Like the groundskeeper, all the clocks had stopped and the ref let them keep playing. And they were on the attack of our try line and you could see the bench yelling out. Everyone's like, what's going on? And then all the players just stopped dead and pointed to the clock and the ref kind of realised and blew time off and then all hell broke loose. But, yeah, Saunders was just he's got like two try assists, a try himself, kicked pretty good. He nailed one from the sideline, which was like Moses-like. I've heard Moses has been working with him pretty closely. Good to see all the first grade boys there surprising them. Matt Arthur absolutely killed it, which no surprise there. He's a gun. Pennicini was strong. Blaze.
Is that Will?
They're all strong. Huh?
Yeah, Dick. It's Dick.
No, that's Will Richard. Johnny. So yeah, even the forwards we got coming through. Like I was always critical of the juniors and how we've lost most of our juniors to other teams and stuff. But after watching what they were capable of in that game, for what I watched, I figure watched like an hour of it. It's pretty exciting, and most of them now will start being blooded in cup and. We'll see how we go.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the forwards because obviously LeBron Tuala, he was out as well, which has obviously been one of the young ones we've been watching come through front rower. So
after Miller was out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's been out for a few weeks, hasn't he? But he was in cup before that as well. So be interesting to see who takes this next step. And, you know, the sad thing about it is really a lot of these kids will never make it. This will be their moment for them. It's a big step to go from SG ball. Obviously, you know, next day can go in a jersey flag. You think you'd see the better ones go straight in the cup. I'd like to see Saunders step straight in the cup. I'd like to see LeBron when he's back. Obviously, Pennicini there as well. People are talking about him being the next center to come through. Who's the other one you're in love with, Matt, that I don't think is quite ready yet?
Blaze Talangi.
Yeah, obviously has a bit of ability.
He's a 5'8 that switched to center, and he's like Suwali. He's got big raps. I think he's made country or New South Wales. But yeah, they're ones we've got to definitely keep.
Yeah, well, that's the hard thing. When you bring these kids who I said, some will walk away, some won't make it, some will give up and go play park footy, but. The others, if you bring too many of them through, like we're seeing happen at Penrith now, they'll end up getting big money from other clubs and disappearing. So it's always hard. And look, there's been a lot of questions, obviously, based around Reid as well, what happened with Reid. But we always kind of knew there was someone else coming through. And people joked about it. Oh, it's just another Arthur. How could it can he be? Jake's useless, blah, blah, blah. The shit people talk. And the difference for me is obviously he's proven it now. Like, you know, as you said, he was a standout in the game. By reports, and you could see when the first grade boys are in there as well, how much of an effect it's obviously had on them. And I think the closest to be there, obviously, because of both the Pennicini boys, but how much effect they're going to have on these young blokes and how good it was for them. So looking forward to see who can step up. Anyone else want to mention
Matty Arthur's been the ball boy for Para for the last 10 years, so it's always good to see. He's always had that close bond with the first grade boys as well. So, but, yeah, it's good. The thing that impressed me about that video of the boys coming back and the first graders there was Hopgood. Hopgood's been at the club for 5 minutes and he was carrying on like he's been there for 20 years. Like, just the bond he's formed with him as well. Like, he's slipped straight in. He's, like, it's like he's always just played for Power.
I just think, I agree with Hopgood there as well, but I just think all of them, I mean, these guys are multi-million-dollar football players and they're watching an SG Ball grand final and celebrating with them. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I haven't seen any other clubs' socials over the years of first graders celebrating with SG Ballers. I mean, I didn't see anything of Penrith last year like that, so... Yeah, it's a huge credit to these guys played a game the night before, and then they're at the grand final the day after.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about my concerns now about that. And that team obviously all coming through. I said there's a possibility you can mention them, and, you know, people are coming, Matt Arthur is a gun. We obviously have heard, sorry, Matt is a gun, but then Ethan Saunders. There's a big rap about Ethan Saunders when he come down. Having us just signed, obviously Moses, yet to be announced, Dylan Brown on a long-term deal, and Gutherson, where does someone like Saunders fit in? He's 18. Kids can make their debut at 18, obviously. We've seen Dylan make his debut at 18. Is he one that we could lose, or is there potentially can play other positions? It's just concerning to me that, obviously, based around hooker, like, where do we slot someone like that if he's ready? So if he goes in the New South Wales Cup, let's say in 2 weeks' time, none of them were named this week in New South Wales Cup. If he goes in New South Wales Cup in a couple of weeks' time and has five or six really solid weeks, like, what do we do in that situation? Because obviously NRL teams, if he's performing at that level, are going to start chasing him.
It is a very tough one. Yeah, but no, it is a very tough one because, as we've all said before, we are a development club, so we develop these players. But yeah, with it's like the Penrith situation with Cleary and Luai there, with Isaiah Katoa going up to the Dolphins, so he couldn't crack a start there. It's like Hopgood coming to Parramatta with Isaiah Yeo. He couldn't crack a start at Penrith because Isaiah Yeo was there, so he came to Parramatta. So yeah, it is a very difficult one.
It also depends on how they're playing. Like, look at Sorley, for instance. He was stuck behind Tedesco, but he's been able to adapt and play wing and then centre, and it depends what these kids, how they are. You can't. 18-year-olds, you said it at the start, Adam, it depends on these kids. Some of them right now are looking like absolute superstars, but once they get to Burson, real men, it can be either cup or first grade, that it can get really found out quickly. So, you know, it's hard. You don't want to get stuck signing up too many first grade senior players, but at the same time, you don't want to be left putting all your eggs in the one basket of all these youngsters. They come through and only two of them can make it out of, say, eight. So it's a balancing act, and it's just hopefully where the club's doing it well. And we can see the rest of the year, some of these kids go up to cup, I believe, and we'll see what they've got.
It's funny you mention it because the last time, Parramatta, obviously, I think it was the last time when Will Penasini was coming through, I actually knew the coach coaching Manly, that SG ball team, and their whole game plan of that game was based around trying to stop Will. And the coach of the Manly team actually said that Will Penasini will make first grade, and obviously he has gone on to. A couple of people I know within the Knights system pretty much based the weekend around stopping Ethan Saunders and trying to stop Ethan Saunders, which they were unable to do. So by all reports, you think he'd make it as well. But I'll ask Hayden, because he's been quiet over there for a while, the interesting question I'm going to raise is, if someone like Saunders was to come into cup, give six or seven solid weeks, set the world on fire, and we're a chance of losing him, and we were prepared to move Gutherson before, would you see someone like Guthrie going in the centres and potentially Brown to fullback or Saunders to fullback, something along those lines?
Well, I think you could see that switch around, and you also could worry about the struggle to retain those players because, as you mentioned, Joel, with former players, the big one I go to is Nico Hines. You had Ryan Pappenhausen playing there, a club like Melbourne that obviously wanted to keep him but couldn't have a position for him. So it could be the same deal with Parramatta. You've seen someone like Gutho provide that X factor. So if you were to have someone wanting to come into our club and you think about that, you would either have to shift, as Adam's saying, or you'd probably struggle to retain those players if clubs do have the money, and you know how greedy managers can be. So it's a very tough one.
Yeah, and
could you potentially put Dylan into the centres and bring Saunders in with Mitch?
No, because for me, Dylan's running the centres. He wasn't good enough there. He went missing. He goes missing as it is at fullback. My personally, I believe Dylan has all the traits of being a really good fullback. He's a little bit selfish with the ball at times, but his speed and his running game there. But by taking Dylan out of the 5'8 role and defensively, you lose the best defensive half and probably one of the best defensive halves in the comp. So, and that's one of the things, you know. Look, we obviously crossed this bridge when we come to it, but it just worries me. Like, so many times we brought kids through, and as you said, we're a development club, Troy, but one of my biggest criticisms of Parramatta over the years is we don't actually seem to give the kids a go. And that's where the problem comes in. And, you know, until we're playing a game last round, we decide to rest our whole first grade team and they're playing with no one, you don't seem to get these kids get a go. So, like, e.g., our good friend Kai Rodwell making his debut,
That's like with the NRL rules anyway, because you can't just bring these kids in and give them a crack. You got to have them in your top 30 unless you get an exemption. So that's also
well, we've still got two spots.
Harder as well.
We've still got two spots left. And look, there's obviously been a reason why he's held on to him. We've obviously just brought in Andrew Dave, which we'll talk about soon. But to me, you would think that Arthur has a plan based around some of these kids. Because obviously there's no one in New South Wales Cup he wants to bring up. It could be his son, 18 years old. We saw, like I said, saw Dylan make his debut. And, you know, we are, well, we're not lacking hooker because Hands is there now, but Joel wants Hodgson gone, and Joel usually gets what Joel wants. But if it is Hodgson's
time to go. Maybe Arthur pumped the 40-20 as well. Like, it was, I feel like that's a bit of the behind the scenes of why we got Hodgson. And why we let Reed go, it was to develop Matt. And then Hands has been killing it. So I think Matt, Arthur, and Hands will be our two number nines for long term. And I feel like it's good to see. Even Arcee apparently killed it at fullback. So I don't want to see... Like, he's a gun. We saw what he did when he came to Warriors. They were losing, and then they went on a mad winning streak, and he's got the bombs and all the skills. Why wouldn't you give him a crack in the centres? Because he can play anywhere. I don't want him to be just a replacement for Hayes.
Did Gutho do anything special on Friday night? So I'd score three tries, but did he do anything special at fullback that he couldn't have done in the centres? Were any of his tries fullback tries? No. Were any of his tries a third man receiver running through? Did he throw any cutout passes to hit the winger unmarked on the chest? No, he didn't. So there still is a potential there that he could move the centres if he needs to. I know he stood up since his whole thing started, but to me, if someone has to come in, and look, we're obviously struggling for a centre.
You could switch. You could put Guffo centre in attack and then switch in defence. Like,
yeah, there's plenty of options. But we've got to pull the trigger on them. And, look, I don't agree with changing the team all the time we're winning. But we'll move on from that. Let's get to this week's game. Magic Round. Obviously, all the games in Brisbane. Definitely would not want to miss this weekend, that's for sure. But, sorry, Hayden. Couldn't help myself.
Boy.
Well, I don't know. I'm actually pretty annoyed we're playing Sunday 6:15, that's for sure. Oh, the field's going to be trash. I'm going to have to sit there and watch every other game. And if we get
did
done...
Did you see the field after just one game last week?
Oh, it's atrocious. But we are the favourites. We're $1.39, so gamble response on that one. I'll go through the team quickly. A few changes. Guthers in at fullback. That's not a change. Sivo and Dunstan on the wing. That's also not a change. Hennessy, one centre, and Simonson returns in the other centre, which we'll touch on soon. Brown and Moses in the halves. Hopgood, Lane, and Davey returning the club and straight into the starting team, which we'll
talk about later. That soon.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that soon. But Greg, Paul White, Hodgson. And then we've got the bench of Cartwright, Hands, Madison, Makatawa, and number 18, of course, is Jake Arthur, as usual. 19 is Russell. 20 is Ogden. Talk about that later. 21, Dury, and 22, Murchie. Look, first of all, thoughts on the team. I know there's a couple of angry people here about Simonson coming straight back in. A couple of question marks on what he's offered. Joel, are you going to go off again? Yeah, had your sneakers before the show.
Yeah, can you go off again, Joel? And Bailey might be man of the match.
Yeah, I'll message him as well. I'll send it to him.
Send the video.
I don't know if I've got it in me anymore, boys. I don't understand. This could be going back to the point you guys have moved on from as well, but is that at the moment it's clear to me this team, their biggest issue is there's a backline position available and it's centre. Because for mine, Bailey's done absolutely nothing this year to cement that spot, and I don't know why he's a walk-up start every time. Russell hasn't set the world on fire. Maybe he was improving slightly. Maybe he could have done another week against lesser opposition like the Titans and helped him along, who knows, but we need a centre. Lomax is not happy at the Dragons. Everyone knows that. The whole rugby league world knows it. And as long as he doesn't want his 700K and Dragons going to chip in, I'd be doing everything I could to get him over. But I don't know what Bailey's done. even if he ends up a late switch and he goes to wing or something, he's been not that great on the high balls in the past. His defensive reads are pretty shocking as well. I just don't get it why we have someone who, like Russell, who we've just extended and we've just said we're going to put time and effort into you for the next how many years. And after a good team victory where everyone's probably up and about and they're all confident, we bring in a guy who really has – it's not like he's a buddy Greg Inglis in the centre. He just demands his position back. Like, what's wrong with him going back to the New South Wales Cup and going, you show us that you deserve to come back in here? Because at the moment, I just feel like that's sending the wrong message to some of the team out there, especially in that back line where we're really struggling.
All right, that's all we've got time for. No, I was joking. Look, to me, and we raised this point in our chat earlier, but I think Bailey deserves a crack at centre. I'm not saying Russell did anything wrong. He did bomb a couple of tries. Actually, he probably bombed more than what we saw because Gagai made him his bitch all night, to be honest. He just rushed up and hit him, and he lacked that final pass, which kind of took Sivo out of play. So there could be some thinking behind that. For me, Simonson did enough in the prelim in the grand final. I actually thought he was one of our best in the grand final until obviously he got injured, to secure himself a fair chance and a fair crack at the centres. I don't know why he didn't start the year there. I don't know why he didn't start the year there and Blake didn't start on the wing.
He was injured.
What?
Bailey.
Isn't that? Yeah, but when they were named, he got ruled out round one. Remember, he was named there round one, wasn't he?
No.
No,
I don't think
it
was.
Maybe they both come into the team.
Russell was named.
Hang on. There's a time they both come into the team. I'm going to look this up. There's round a time two. They both were named in the team.
Round two.
Round two, was it?
Pretty sure it was round two.
I thought it was longer.
Gaffo got knocked out.
I thought it was longer.
No, they were.
Gaffo got knocked out, and Bailey had to go back to second.
They had Lumi round one.
Yeah, God. Let's not get back to that. But Blake was in the centres in round two, and Simonson was on the wing. It didn't make sense to me then why Simonson wasn't in the centre. So, I don't know. Like he gets his crack. I hope he performs. I still think Bailey has something to offer. Defensively, you're right. I think he's a terrible defensive read on the wing. If he's in the centres and he makes that defensive read, the main thing is he has to take his winger with him. And Sivo loves a jam in. We've seen him jam in at Magic Round before. Just ask Jerome Hughes how that felt. Anyone else got anything to add about that team? Hayden?
I think Bailey. I think Bailey at centre is a good choice. He put his hand up that he wanted to go there, and BA gave him the shot because not many people noticed, but when he was out against Canberra, that Canberra semi-final, he actually coached the boys in a video session on Canberra, and look what happened. So he's got a lot of footy brains.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, exactly. That was the best. He's just like a natural footballer, but I think he'll come good.
I agree with Joel, actually. I would have left Russell in there, and Bailey can come
Russell's
back.
Russell's a fullback.
Yeah.
Do you two ever disagree with each other?
I know.
Great minds think alike, but yeah, I would have left Russell in the centres after a win. You mentioned him before, Ogden. I'm a bit unsure why he hasn't got another start as well on the bench.
I was unsure last year when he killed it the first game he played.
Yeah, and then he got dropped again. Obviously, it's very interesting that Andrew Davies comes straight back into the starting lineup. His defense is probably that's what's got him in there straight away. And, I mean, it's not as if he was injured or unmatch fit. So, just good to see him back, actually. But very interested to see him back in the starting lineup.
Yep. I agree with that. And, I'm happy to see him back. Paul Reports is a good bloke, and he was good for his mates at the club. A real battler of the game, obviously making his debut late and still going, especially returning from an ACL injury at his age as well. But the question mark I have as well is it sets a bad precedent to bring him straight in. Or has a precedent been set to people like Cardi and Maddo that they have to stand up? Just remember, at the start of the year, we were calling for Madison to start off the bench. I know I certainly was after what happened. I was saying he had to earn his spot. And he didn't have to do that because of the injuries we got. So now he's being forced back to that. Sorry, I'm just reading my comments. I'm trying not to laugh. But Because I was going to suggest that to Sean Russell.
He's got a good point.
But
got a good point, Marlon.
Yeah. We'll answer the questions at the end, but that was a distraction. for me, I don't know. I don't like the precedent we set. The bloke can walk straight in the club. I know he knows our system and stuff. There you go. There's the question. The question's up. We'll go to that at the end. Anyway, I don't know.
Why don't you leave him up there?
No, we'll add more at the end. We'll add more at the end when we go through them. So, that's my thoughts on that. And on obviously on the Russell one as well. Like I said, I thought Russell was a bit hard done by, but that's footy. But Ogden, as you mentioned, Ogden was superb. I didn't think he had it in him. Not that I thought he was a cat like Wiramu, who's not a cat anymore because we're mates. But Ogden, he just brought that extra big body on. He's a bit around the same size as Junior Paulo. And he, like I said, we were playing the Knights though. But we'll see what this weekend brings. Anyone else got anything to add about this team?
Just a quick one. I think the Davies selection is more about what side Foran and Fifita's running down. In defense.
Is that why Bailey's there as well, do you think? A bit bigger body than Russell?
I don't know, maybe. Maybe.
Interesting. Hayden, nothing to add about the team?
Nothing to add, mate.
Nothing to add. All right, do you want to go to the questions now or do you want to go to bold predictions? Fire your questions here, we'll read through
them. Let's go through Hayden, the questions. Put the questions up.
Chuck your questions in. And before we get into our bold prediction and first try scorer, we're going to give you guys a crack, as in the viewers. I'll put something on Instagram relating to this on the Talking Parrot and our own pages, but we're all going to chip in, and we've had some great donations from a Canberra Raiders fan. I don't have the name in front of me because I am on the phone, but the Canberra Raiders fan that has given the donos, we are very appreciative, and we're going to give back to the band. So you can pick the, I wanted to say last try scorer, but Adam wanted to make it a bit easier for you guys. So we've gone with the first try scorer and the closest margin, which I think there's going to be a lot of entries. So it's going to be very hard to monitor. If we have multiple people, we'll probably do like a randomizer like myself and Maddie have done for giveaways on our own channel.
Can we enter?
No, you can't enter, Troy. You've got enough.
You've got enough jersey.
Yeah. But guys, if you can guess the first,
I'm still waiting for my Anzac jersey.
If you can, so am I. It's a bullshit. sorry, my Dolphins jersey is coming before my Para one, before my Anzac. Now, guys, what I was saying is you will win yourself a Parramatta Eels jersey. You can kind of choose between a home or away jersey for the 2023 season from all the boys at Talking Para. If you can pick the first try scorer as well as the closest margin, we will put up a post on Instagram where you guys can comment just so we can maintain those comments. And look, our game is at 6 or 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock on Sunday.
6:25 p.m.
6:25 p.m. So we're going to make the cutoff before the start of the second game, just so we can monitor. So 4 p.m. Sunday is the latest that you can enter our competition. But yeah, guys, we're going to give away a jersey this week. Over to you.
Are we going to sign it for them?
That would be worth nothing. I want to highlight something here that to enter the competition, you must be following all the relevant pages as well before we go to the questions. And it'll go off the margin first before going to the try scorer. So if no one gets the correct correct score, we'll go to the margin. If there's a few people on the margin, we'll look at the try scorers. So put in both entries. That impedes following, obviously, Parakeet Podcast, Entertain House, League of Inches, and whatever Matt's got his hand at the moment. He's got about three different Instagrams going, so they'll be all posts on the post. Don't follow me, that's for sure. I've got nothing to offer. All right, let's go to the questions. First one here from Andrew Backhouse. Do you see Jack Murchie back in a 17, and what do you want to see from him if you don't think so? And he also just said he'd pay to get Hayden's signature, so I know. Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to answer your first question. We're going to ignore your second question, that's for sure. But for me, Murchie, I don't think he did too much wrong when he was obviously in the Parramatta team. But I believe looking at last week, he played off the bench, didn't he, in New South Wales Cup?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is he named there again this week? I'm just going to try and bring up this week's team. But
he had he hasn't performed to the level off the bench that we've seen from Dury early on in the season, or as you boys keep mentioning, Ogden last week. And now that we've got Hands as that hooker role and in that top 30, I think it makes it quite hard. We wanted to see Jack in the side, but I think performance-wise, I think we'll see him return later in the season and get given that crack. But as I mentioned, Matt Dury and also players like Makahesi Makatoa, who would you drop for that spot with these players performing? There isn't one, is the simple answer for me.
I think we've just got too many quality good bench players fighting for four spots, or three spots. Finally, you're going to have Hands there.
Yeah, look, he's probably lucky at the start of the year. He's probably there based on the injuries we had. Losing those two second rubbers, obviously, in Lane and Madison, which probably helped him a bit more. He's starting a New South Wales Cup this week, Matt Adds. So you think he's obviously potentially next in line when you look at it like that. But I don't think it's a case of him doing anything wrong, but just players returning. Any other questions there, Hayden, of interest?
Andrew Backhouse, and I don't know about this, but he says, is there rumours true that Makatoa is going to the Super League at the end of the season? Would enter a bench spot for sure, but I'll let Matty go on to this one. Obviously, don't reveal too much if it's... do what you can.
There's been some offers from what I'm hearing. And the money, we all know what the money's like over there. So it just depends on what the plan is. We've seen BA do this before. I think Will Smith was leaving at five years in a row at one point and ended up signing a 1 year deal at the end of the year. So, We'll see. I think there'll be a player leaving very soon. So long, I think that's going to be one of the questions along here. Yeah. So we've probably seen him in a last Eels jersey ever. So
is Wonga injured at the moment? There was a question earlier about that. If he's injured,
about Wonga.
He broke
his arm, I think, in one of the, I think it was the Bulldogs, at the Bulldogs game in reserve grade. He went off halfway through the first half, didn't come back, and he hasn't played since, so.
Not that he knows how to use his arm to tackle anyway, but anyway, that's a different factor. I'll touch on that Makatoa one quickly. I haven't heard anything, but I'll just highlight what we were talking about earlier, but obviously it's good SG ball players come through. You can't keep them all. And obviously he made his debut pretty late to his career when you look at it that way. So if it is time to move him on, he can get good money over there to probably be a starter over there. It's probably his time to go. Especially like I said, with young LeBron coming through and obviously a couple of other kids from that SG ball team. So you can't keep them all. And that's one thing we've struggled with, probably letting players play on a little bit too long. And look, we know how Arthur treats players when he wants them gone, e.g. Wonga, E.J. Fui, Tim Mena, there's a few I can mention. Once he wants them gone, they seem to be gone. So,
Taka.
To answer one of the other questions earlier, I don't see Wonga returning. I think he'll be gone. And all reports he's going to the Western Force, Rugby Union. So good luck there. Look, the state of Australian rugby at the moment, he'll probably play in a
World Cup. I'll go around his house on the weekend and see if there's a moving truck there.
Yeah, there's a moving truck. Wish him all the luck touching the ball three times in a game. But congratulate him on getting beat by New Zealand and England.
What?
Can he kick?
He's got hands and feet, so he must have some pretty good feet. So.
Don't centres kick in rugby union?
All right, boys, we are losing. We have lost five viewers, so I think we should get our viewers back by bringing in our bowl predictions and getting into our pick this week.
Well, mate, they've missed out on the best stuff here, the bowl predictions.
There's a few more questions there we could answer.
Yeah, answer more questions.
Can we just answer my brother's one quickly?
Go up to Marlon's one about the reserve grade contracts and stuff, and Adam can explain it.
Not the Smile Tatey one?
No, the do knock on cup. No, not that one. I already laughed at that one. He ain't coming back. Do knock on cup. Yeah. Look, obviously you've got some players there that are in the top 30, and obviously comes in your second tier salary cap, but a lot of players are on match payments, essentially, for New South Wales Cup. So I couldn't obviously go through and name them all, but I'm talking more about a night system there. I know blokes in there, and they'd probably be on about $650 a week per game, based around that. So not bad money, but when you look at it compared to our local competition up here, that's why a lot of blokes don't hang around New South Wales Cup if they're not in that top 30 or they're young players coming through. Because look at my local team, mate, on there's blokes probably on about, you know, blokes like Brock Lamb and stuff who are on at least double that legally, is what I'll say. So, yeah, there's no point playing New South Wales Cup. It's not a money-making competition. It's a competition. I know a lot of blokes up here who've been offered to go to Sydney and won't go because the money's so terrible. So if you're not on a contract in New South Wales Cup, it's not worth being there pretty much.
Is that why you didn't come down to Sydney, Adam? Like,
I was just old and broken down, mate. can we answer, is Foran playing from No Quarter Punt? Can you bring that up, Hayden?
I've got at the moment, he has been named in the Gold Coast side. But there is a question mark about his availability.
I was just going to say, check the team list, you idiot. He's clearly named, so if we don't know if he's out yet.
Mate, you've got to be respectful to the viewers. You have to provide the information.
That's my brother up in Florida, I want to say.
Adam, yes.
can you pop that one back up?
Sure. I'll read it to you.
Yeah, you can read it out, yep.
Adam, I hear late, so sorry. If you talked about it, how are you feeling walking the streets of the Hunter region as a Para fan?
Yeah, look, it's been fantastic. I went out Saturday to Steamfest with a young fella, pulled out one jersey. I think we went back to the young fella, I'll touch on him. He wouldn't take his Parramatta jersey off. He slept in it and then he wanted to wear it the next day. So it's a great feeling walking around. I think I wore a jersey Sunday. Yesterday I went to the gym in my jersey. Today I've obviously got this one on. So it's a week of celebration, really. So
just a
it's
week.
Been great. And, oh, well, we've got to play. They'll win this week.
I wear Parramatta stuff every day in Penrith.
You're brave, Troy. You're brave.
Absolutely.
So the look behind you. I like to not smell, unlike you. anyway.
There's a final question I want Adam to answer. It's from the Parramatta with the at symbol. Will your favourite player ever play first grade for us again?
No, he shouldn't have to start with. No.
Oh, come on, Adam. He came from the Melbourne system.
That's right. There's a reason. Yeah, anyone going to make the trip up to Brizzy this week? Andrew, can you bring that one up, please, Hayden? I want to see if you can answer that one.
Yeah, we have lost four viewers, but sure, yep. We need to get to it, guys. I'm telling you, this is the thing about the podcast.
Okay.
You see the drop when it's over an hour. But
we'll jump on Instagram and say that we're going to do our bowl predictions now. So jump back onto the...
No, I can't.
Just do your bowl prediction. I haven't given this any thought at all, so I'm going to go first because I love when I give it no thought. I reckon we'll go big again, based on there being the ground's going to be terrible, so not that big. I'm going to go Parramatta 38-4. Yep. So my first try scorer, I'm just going to go risky, and he probably won't even start now. I've said it, but Andrew Davey, first try scorer, because why not? Just because of the value. And my bold prediction, this is bold.
Bold.
I'm going to say it's going to be 4-4 at half time.
Ooh.
Yeah,
you could have scored 34 points in the second half. I like it.
Yeah, we should have scored 60 last week in the first half, so let's make it happen. All right, Hayden, what do you got?
I got an apology to Troy because my first try scorer is Will Penasini, so sorry, buddy.
That's quite all right. I'm happy to share the love around, mate. I'm happy to share the love. You guys don't have very many points, so it's okay.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Sebo let me down last week. I tipped us in a close one by 6, but I think we can win a bit bigger here. I still think it'll be a 1-12. I think the Titans will be competitive, but I think AJ Brimson is a huge loss for them, and we can score few points, so I'll go 26-14. As for my bold prediction, I'm going to say that I feel like a back row is due, so I'll go Sean Lane to score a try and have 3 offloads.
All right. Can I add to my bold prediction?
Controversy, no.
Oh, we're going to do Troy.
Controversy, no.
I've thought this through, right? And I'm going to say that I'm not going to do the four all. Let's scrap that because
you know if you don't get if you only get one, you don't get the whole thing.
Shut up, Troy. I'm going to say that 3 out of 5 of our players in our spinal score. There you go.
That's pretty much what you did last week, isn't it?
No, I said the wingers. So, obviously, our spine being Gutho, Brown, Moses, Hodson and Hopgood. 3 of the 5 players will have to score a try. Now, I've only said 38-4, which means 7 tries. So, you know, risky business. All right, Joel, what do you got?
I'll go Para to win 36-16. I'll have Moses as first try scorer. And I will go Gutho. This is my bold prediction. Will double up and get another hat trick this week. So,
Philip Salmi or what?
2 weeks in a row, and the Gutherino will be out for the third in Magic Round.
Can we have an over under on how many beers you're going to drink at the game, Joel?
I might have 1 or 2.
And did you take the day off on Monday?
I'll see how we're going, boys. It'll be a good day, actually. I'm really looking forward to catching up with you all, so can't wait. We'll obviously dedicate the waters as well, so if Brad Arthur's around, come and see us. Have a few waters out.
That's only Darwin, Joel.
Joel, since I can't see you, hopefully I can see you at Origin Game 2, mate. Catch up.
Yeah, that'd be good.
All right, Troy.
Joel's not going, so anyway. This is a controversial part, isn't it? Because I need to get this right because it was all thrown around last week. Look, I'm going to say 28-20. And I'm going to say that Mike Acebo is going to bring the magic to Magic Round and score the first try. And
nice.
Sorry?
Nothing. Continue.
Mate, last week it all got construed and everything, so I'm just keeping it simple. And it'll be 20-0 at halftime.
To them or us? Because they've got a record.
Yeah, I know. To us, obviously. To us.
Jaden Campbell, the X Factor.
Hey, Troy.
Hey, Hayden.
I know it doesn't make a huge difference with AJ Brimson, but your score could be right because going into this game and had my notes all week, that's actually the score that I had written down. I made it while I was in the shower, but I thought, you know, closer to game day, I went to 26-14. So I think you could be on something, Troy. We're both...
You know, great minds think alike, and I've got to get this one right.
In breaking news, Hayden thinks about AJ Brimson in the shower. All right, Manny, what do you got?
How long was your shower, Hayden?
4 minutes.
All right, so I've got Eels 38-20. I'm going to change my try scorer.
Oh, controversial.
Got to be fair. I'm not going to take the same try scorer as Joel, so I'm going to switch it up and say Dylan again. And my bold prediction is kind of into Adam's try scorer. I think Davey will score.
No, I'm not copping that. That's shit.
What do you mean?
What was your bold prediction? Sorry, I was reading some comments. What was the...
I'll say Davey 2. Davey double.
Davey
double. It's not going to happen, but that's better.
Yeah, it's pretty bold, but it's not going to happen.
That's bold, but just any time try scorer, it's not bold. It'll be about 450. I'm not copping that shit.
Look, just one more comment from Marlon. He said, Troy isn't your man, Tacker, lining up down Shell Harbour way for a team. Yes, Marlon, he's playing for the Dapto Canaries this year down there, down south. By all reports, played pretty good in his first game 2 weeks ago. So they lost, but he played all right, Tacker, so...
I love how there's about 4 or 5 good questions there, and you chose the one that was directed.
That was directed to me. So, and Marlon, Brownie has not got a start at the Roosters yet in first grade. Hayden, is AJ the X Factor you want?
That's all we got time for, but I just want to add, guys, make sure you do not ask your Snapchat AI who's going to score the first try in the Eels game, because it will tell you Tom Opacek or Blake Ferguson.
Okay, so wrapping things up, if there's any Eels fans going to Brisbane for Magic Round, the Hotel LA, the Lord Alfred Hotel on Caxton Street, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. There is a Eels fans event, so head up there. You might see a few of us there. Up there, and you'll be able to catch this on Apple and Spotify tomorrow. Subscribe to the podcast, and where can you find it online, Aiden?
Over on the Entertain House YouTube channel, which is live tonight. We'll see how we go next week. Make sure you follow pages to be involved. Away, we'll put a separate post on Instagram. Enjoy your Magic Round that I won't be at, but looking forward to it anyway. And let's all do it. 1, 2, 3.
Go power.
Go power.